The okay, our next phrase is that we're moving into chapter 1, verse 3. The word of the Lord came expressly to Yehezkel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Kabar, and the hand of the Lord was upon him there. So, we're going to have several different expressions to work with here. First off, we mentioned earlier that the name Yehezkel means God will strengthen. It's very interesting because he is the son of Buzi. Buz, B-U-Z, means shame. Buzi means my shame. So God sends Yehezkel to the Golah, to the exile, with the message that God will strengthen them who are the children of his shame. I'm going to read to you how it's worded in Art Scroll. They are quoting here, but they don't give the reference for their quote, so I can't give you that. But it says, it does give the quote. It's Eliyahu Rabbah 6. Derives Buzi from the root Buz to shame. Thus Ben Buzi is rendered the son of men who allow themselves to be shamed for the sake of my honor and the honor of Israel. Now, we've already mentioned that he was a Kohen and that he was of the house of Zadok. The other prophet of his day, the other great prophet of his day was Yirmiyahu, was of the house of Abithar. And it should always bear in mind that God chooses the priest from the house of Zadok to go to the exile while he leaves the priest from the house of the banished house of Abithar to be critical of the priesthood in Jerusalem. Okay? I think that's very, very unique. Okay. Let's see, let me find my place here. We have in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Kabar. The land of the Chaldeans, by the way, was specifically called a polluted land. Specifically called a polluted land. And then we have the expression, and the hand of the Lord was upon him there. Now this expression, the hand of the Lord being upon him, is an expression that is unique to Yehezkel. It occurs in the book of Yehezkel more than any other place in the scripture. I want you to go to Yehezkel chapter 3, verse 14. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness, in the heat of my spirit. But the hand of the Lord was strong, or with force, upon me. The term is Yad Ha Adonai, the hand of the Lord. The hand of the Lord is also a term that is used for the Messiah. Probably the most famous reference to the hand of the Lord is where Eliyahu Hanavi, Elijah the prophet, is on Mount Carmel and has fought the prophets of Baal and Asherah, and he sees a cloud coming, and it forms the hand. It's in the shape of a hand. And a judgment of rain is about to fall on King Ahab. I'd like to read to you the little note here on this verse out of Art Scroll. It says, the hand of the Lord. This alludes to the shattering experience of prophecy, which throws the prophet into a trance. Now that is a quote from Rashi. Okay, now, we have a division. This is what we have so far from verse 1 through 3 is what it would be called a parenthetical clause. And we have mentioned in our last session how that this is the only book that starts with the way most books will start, that the words of Isaiah the prophet, the son of, and give his name, and then in the reigns of King so-and-so. Okay? And the prophecies gave over Judah, or the prophecies gave over Judah and Israel. And this is the only prophet that does not do this. We have a lot of peculiarities that come up in Yehezkel. Okay, now, before we get to verse 4, which is the actual official start of the Maaseh Merkavah, I am going to go through, I'm using four different commentaries. Oh, I have a passage I want to read. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 48. In 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 48, it has a direct reference to the Merkavah. Second Chronicles. Sorry. Has to be Second Chronicles. Wait a second. Twenty-eight, 18. Okay. First Chronicles. First Chronicles 28:18. Sorry. Okay, this is one of my favorite passages, by the way. This is where that God gave by the Holy Spirit. Now, let's get several things. I use this passage frequently. You're not in my teachings too long till you hear this passage. We're going to start back in verse 11. But this is cool. And the reason I emphasize it so much is it is a passage that people need to... You're going to get so much criticism on all this stuff. And you need to have where you are able to prove certain points. I don't want you to go out arguing with people, okay? But as these things come up and you need to back up what you say. Okay, 1 Chronicles 28 to verse 11. Then David gave his son Shlomo the plans for the vestibule. That's the porch of the temple. Its houses, its treasuries, its upper chambers. Okay, that's what we saw there. Its inner chambers. And the place of the mercy seat. All the plans for all that he had by the Ruach, by the Spirit, came from God. Of the courts of the house of the Lord, of all the chambers all around, of the treasures of the house of God, of the treasures for the dedicated things, also for the division of the priests and the Levites, for all the work of the service of the house of the Lord. Okay, so that's the services, that's the Avodah. And for all the articles of service in the house of the Lord, that's the Kelim, the vessels. He gave gold by weight for things of gold, for all articles used in every kind of service. Also silver for all articles of silver by weight, for all articles used in every kind of service. The weight for the lampstands of gold, the weight of gold by weight for each lampstand and its lamps, for the lampstands of silver by weight, for the lampstand and its lamps, according to the use of each lampstand. And by weight, he gave gold for the tables of the showbread. For each table in silver, for the tables of silver, also pure gold for the forks, the basins, the pitchers of pure gold, and the golden bowls. He gave gold by weight for every bowl, and for the silver bowls, silver by weight for every bowl. And refined gold by weight for the altar of incense, and for the construction of the Merkavah. M-E-R-K-A-V-A-H, the chariot. For the construction of the Merkavah. That is, the gold caravim that spread their wings and overshadowed the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. So the Ark of the Covenant is not exactly the Merkavah, but the caravim that overshadow the Ark of the Covenant, or the that is the Merkavah of the Lord. Okay, now, verse 19 is crucial. All this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing. We don't have it anymore, but David had it in writing. By his hand upon me, all the works of these plans. Now I want you to do a word study on the next phrase. Be strong and of good courage, and do it. Or actually it says, be strong and of good courage, and do.
Doesn't say do the work?
No, it's just and do. Now what I want you to study is the expression, be strong and of good courage. Yes. It is what is said to a bar mitzvah boy. But I want you to, it not only is it in Joshua, I want you to see how many times it is in Joshua 1. And the passages of what the instruction is that follows.
In the New Testament, it's used in the passage where Peter is walking on the water, but it says, be of good cheer.
It should have been be of good courage. Right. I'm glad you pointed that out. Okay, now.
Run by one more time about the Merkavah, that in relationship to the Ark of the Covenant.
Okay. What you're told here in 1 Chronicles 28:18 is that it is not actually the Ark of the Covenant, but it is the cherubim that are on top of the Ark of the Covenant. Okay, what okay, let's get some terminology. You have the Aron Kodesh, which is the Ark of the Covenant, which means Holy Ark. The Aron Kodesh. The lid is called the Kaporet, which we also found a reference. We don't know if it was a mistake or not, but we found a reference for the entire room of the Holy of Holies called the Kaporet. Now, I can tell you where you can find that if you want to search that out. That is found in the Jewish Encyclopedia article on the service of the temple. And it will tell you that a guard was stationed behind the Kaporet. Okay, on the top of the Kaporet or the Kiravim, which according to this verse, 1 Chronicles 28:19, this is called the Merkavah.
Would it also include it's not the caravan, but the I know the mercy seat was considered the lid, but would it consider everything that encompassed that, the Shekinah and all?
Oh, I'm sure that it would. Okay, I'm sure that it would. Okay, now. Yes, it's called the term for the room is called Hadavar, the Devar, the word.
Isn't that word? It's like sapphire stone or something.
It's the color of a sapphire. Right. That's right. Exactly right. Okay, now.
Is that the same as a Merkava?
Well, we're seeing through a vision darkly. Okay, and we're seeing through a glass darkly.
What does Merkava mean?
Merkava means chariot. It's chariot. Uh-huh. Okay, now,
Joe?
Yes?
My New American Standard says for the model of the chariot. Is that correct or wrong?
No, it would not be the model of the chariot. It is literally that for the construction of the Merkava.
It says, and gold for the model of the chariot.
Should be the construction. You've got a.
I've got one such pattern of the.
Okay, see if it's the word tavnit. See if it's the word tavnit.
Where are we at? 18.
Okay. It would be the word tavnit. Okay. I have one little note that I want to put in before we push on any further. This was out of the Sansino, a commentary on Yehezkel, and it's going back up to verse 1 where we had the heavens were opened, and in their commentary they say, on the date mentioned, Yehezkel experienced the vision which began with the opening of the heavens, comparable with the drawing of the stage curtain. And I just thought that was unique in that the temple veil was drawn. And that was the porting of the heavens also. Okay? Okay, so now it gets heavy.
Did we decide that veil rolled up or went this way?
Okay. All that I have found so far, I have been working on that question as to whether it went up or it went to the sides. All that I've gotten is that it was folded. So, that could be either way.
At the porch?
Well, inside the porch. You've come into the porch, but it's in between. It's the curtain going into the holy place.
You know, in the Mishkan...
They held it up,
and it was in, it had one... There were two separations. It was in, like, three pieces.
Right.
You went in one way and came out the other way.
Right.
And the... what was it? The center pole? Was it the Shemash?
No, the center pole is called the Yotade.
Yotade, yeah, it was there in the middle.
Uh-huh.
So I would imagine it would be designed the same way.
Well, there's even a possibility of this, for there is a Yotade mentioned, and the Yotade means it means a peg. And there was, in the Mishkan, the tabernacle, there was a pole, which was the center pole. It is related, the word is related to the same word for cornerstone. But it was the pole that everything was supported off of. And that's right, they had pegs in it. And they hung the vessels that were used in the service of the temple on this peg. It is directly applied to the Messiah in about Isaiah 22. It might be chapter 21 or 23, but it's right in that range. It is used in Ezra chapter 9, verse 18.
You know, if you look in the lexicon too, that you appeared also... There was a derivative of that word that meant a prince, as in one who protects a principality. Was another term for that, or another definition for that word.
is not 9:18, it's 9:8. I'm sorry. And now for a little while, grace has been shown from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a yetade in His holy place. Okay, which would mean in the HaKodesh. And this is Second Temple. Okay, yetade in His holy place, that our God may enlighten our eyes and give us a measure of revival in our bondage. Okay, so it's very possible. Okay, now, as I mentioned, it gets heavy now. I want to show you on the Hezekiel commentary, when you come to the Maaseh Merkavah, this is where the commentary on the Maaseh Merkavah starts with verse 4. You see this little gray pattern up here? Okay, now I'm going to turn the page. See the little gray pattern? See the little gray pattern? And again, it's kind of like the warning of the Surgeon General says that cigarette smoking is dangerous to your health. Okay, what this says is Maaseh Merkavah. In this vision, supernatural concepts are described in human terms. As explained in the prefatory remarks, they cannot be understood literally, nor in our spiritual poverty. And you have this sense that they're saying extreme spiritual poverty. Are we equipped even to glimpse at their inner meaning? Now, I would equate this to an Einstein describing the universe to a three-year-old. Okay? So, I mean, how would you describe it to a three-year-old? What kind of terminology could you use to describe it? Because there are too many concepts that a three-year-old does not even have the beginning of understanding of. I mean, they can't relate to distance. They can't relate to how a light this big could be something larger than the earth. They can't relate to how big the earth is. They might be able to relate to the earth is round, but it doesn't look round. I mean, you can see God has a major problem in trying to describe this Maaseh Merkavah. Now, Maaseh, it is usually called the vision of the chariot, Maaseh Merkavah, but it is more specifically the work of the chariot. The work of the chariot.
Elisha showed the chariots.
Okay, speak up, Glenn.
When Elisha showed his servant the chariots on the mountains, there was more than one. There were hundreds or thousands of them.
Right.
Now, what chariots were those being referenced to these? Are they related?
Okay. The chariots that he saw were the chariots of the angels. Whereas this is the chariot of God. So there's a difference. There's a big difference here. And I'm not sure that the word that is used there is Merkavot. There's another word that is used, sometimes translated in English as chariot, that is not Merkavah. Okay. So we start off in verse 4. You're going to have a lot of Hebrew. I am not meaning to confuse you by the Hebrew, but it's that these terms cannot be translated into English exactly. So let's read verse 4. Then I looked, and behold, a whirlwind was coming out of the north, a great cloud with raging fire engulfing itself, and brightness was all around it and radiating out of its midst like the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. this morning, I looked on the internet to, there is a particular search engine that is noted for being good for Jewish study. And so I used the search engine and I typed in the word Merkavah. And I found 82 different places that there are papers and lectures on the Merkavah, the Masse Merkavah. Every one of them starts off with the warning. Okay? It goes without saying. Now, as we get into it, you'll understand why. This you start off with Vehine. Okay? Hine means behold. Behold. Hine would be spelled H-I-N-E-I. And in this case, it has an H on the end. Vehine. It is also the root of the word Hineni. Hineni is the word that was used by Abraham. When God called to Abraham in Bereshit, Genesis 22, Abraham responded, Hineni, here am I. And you're told that God will respond this way in Yeshayahu, Isaiah 58, that you will call to Him and He will say, Hineni. Probably one of the most, one of the best known expressions of Hineni or Hine is Hine El Yeshuati Avtak Velo Echad. Behold, God is my salvation. I shall not want. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2. Okay. Now, listen to this. You'll understand why we get into the, we're going to get into the Hebrew. This starts off, Vehine Ruach. Behold the Ruach. Sa'ar. Sa'ar. That would be spelled S apostrophe A A. No. S apostrophe A R A H. This is a Sa'ar is the male storm, and Sarah is the female storm. Okay? One of the things you're going to have to keep track of is masculine and feminine words here. Sa'ar is the word for a whirlwind or tempest. So this is a hurricane. It's a female word. It's a feminine word. It's feminine. Ends in a hay. Like skina is feminine. Okay? All right, now, this will get very important because you're going to have some couplings together that will come up. All right? The word, the Barak Brigade. Is that 1 minute to the end of the session or 1 minute on the side? Okay. The Barak Brigade, which their tank is what? Merkava. Okay, now, originally their tank was not the Merkava, but the Barak Brigade was originally known as the Carmel Brigade. And then they were renamed when they were sent to the Golan Heights, the Barak Brigade, meaning lightning. And the tank that they used back then was the Shermans and the Pattons, and then they moved up to the British Centurion tanks. And then Israel developed its own tank known as the Merkavah. Now the Barak Brigade takes its names for its battalions, its three battalions from Yehezkel chapter 1. And they did this from the beginning, long before the Merkava tank was made. Now, the reason that I'm telling you that is I think it will aid you in being keeping some things in perspective concerning these words. The 71st Battalion is called, the 73rd Battalion is called the Sa'ar Battalion. The whirlwind, the tempest. Okay, now you need to put something here in your notes on this verse. A black cloud.